Starting in the 70s in Lafayette, Louisiana, Michael Doucet has played fiddle and sang with Beausoleil for nearly 40 years. With around 35 recordings to their name, Beausoleil avec Michael Doucet has played around the country and traveled internationally, receiving several Grammy Awards. As the dominating Cajun band in the world, they are a headliner on Sunday, February 9th at the Blast Furnace Blues Festival in Bethlehem. Michael Doucet, welcome to WDIY.
Well, it's nice to be back in Pennsylvania. Thank you.
You know, Beausoleil plays music that's derived from the Cajun culture of Louisiana, and the band has found ways to stretch those boundaries on its 2013 recording From Bamako to Karankro on Compass Records, which was nominated for a Grammy Award this year. And one week prior to the Grammys, which just took place this last week, and on January 18th, I guess it was, that New Orleans entertainment music publication Offbeat Magazine announced it was the best Cajun album of the year. So I guess that's pretty exciting news for you.
Yeah, it was a great party in Louisiana. Offbeat, it's a really nice newsletter. It's kind of a magazine, a weekly magazine that really tells the story of what's going on in New Orleans and around Louisiana. So, very happy we won. I mean, we play in New Orleans, and we used to play there regularly, but, the past couple of years we've been so busy on the road, not as regularly, so maybe once a month. So it's nice to still be recognized and still have our fans come out and dance and have a good time.
Well, describe the sound of the album, how the recording came together to connect the migratory path of blues from Mali to Louisiana.
Well, I mean, to me, I mean, it's just a thread that I've always followed. I mean, it's not just the music that you hear, who creates the music and where did those influences come from. And being from New Orleans, we're so aware of different influences, not only from New Orleans, the port of New Orleans, and I mean from colonial times onwards, but up to modern day. And so there's always those elements of blues, weaving through our music, both what we call traditional Cajun music, traditional Acadian music, whatever, to some bluesy zydecos, or even New Orleans Creole music. And to that filters from the islands. The islands being Cuba or Guadeloupe or Martinique, or the French speaking islands that the Creole is still spoken, et cetera. So it was, and then it goes all the way back to Africa. So it was for us. It's just how we play, the music, how we tell the story. And so from Bamako to Karankro was that kind of element putting different elements and different types of songs into one whole. It just shows you sort of the gumbo pot, to use a cliche term, where this music comes, where it is now, and where it came from. So we're still following that path back and forth.
Well, there are two tunes which are the bookends for the recording: Karankro, which you wrote, and the other one, Bamako, which was contributed by trombonist Roswell Rudd.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah.
How was Rudd picked to be a part of this project?
Well, he picked himself. It would happen after Katrina in 2005. I played a benefit, actually, up in upstate New York, and they had a lot of different musicians around. And, we just kind of get like a little New Orleans band. So we started playing some of the songs. And Roswell liked it. He's a trombone player. He used to play New Orleans music amongst his he played avant-garde jazz and just different kind of styles. Anyway, he really liked the group. I mean, it wasn't even a group thing. It was just me and some friends. And we became really good buddies. And, when we play around, he'd come in and sit in, and that was cool. And we just released an album from him. It's called Trombone for Lovers. And that's possible. But anyway... So because of that Katrina benefit, that's where we became friends. And I talked about Bamako and talked about going to Mali because some of our music, I really enjoy the music of Mali and the people who were there, the musicians that I've met. I mean, not too many of them, like Ali Farka Touré. Didn't know him. I mean, he's dead now, but I knew him in the early 80s. And we exchanged, we played the same festivals, and we always spoke French together. It was a unique French, and it was so much like Louisiana. And so he was there, Roswell was there during a tour, and he just was really enamored with the people and the music. So he wrote a tune called Bamako, which of course is the capital of Mali, and we played the tune. I mean, you know, it's not a Cajun tune, but we Cajunized it. So that's how it happened, and that segues into Karankro, this little town north of Lafayette. It's just it's kind of like a, you know, triangle love murder ballad kind of thing, and the few people are playing and are writing these days, and so it just ended up right there, and it seemed to fit very well.
Now, the murder ballad is connected to which tune?
Karankro.
Right. So that's it's actually based in fact in that tune.
Well, actually, there was a short story by the name of Karankro by George Washington Carver, I think his name was, and he wrote some. He visited Louisiana in the 1880s, and he wrote short stories about it. But he also gave a pretty picture, not a pretty picture, but you know, sort of factual writing about what he found here and now. He wrote about New Orleans. He wrote about, you know, Congo Square and things like that. And when he came out to, you know, Acadian French country, he wrote about this little town called Karankro. It was a different story, but his images were so amazing. And so it kind of just continued to develop that idea.
La belle Joséphine, will I render by you? Entre d'espérer le retour de bonne aventure. Entre les temps tout seul et noté arrivé, il a volé le cœur de la belle Joséphine. Comme bonne aventure a revenu de son retour, doit se diriger. We'll be right back.
sounds like a really interesting recording. On this 2013 recording from Bamako to Karankwo, the band even interprets tunes from John Coltrane with Bessie's Blues and then also James Brown with I'll Go Crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, we have fun with this. I mean, you know, it's like we're very, I mean, you know, the music is humorous. I mean, you know, it's life, and, you know, it's how you deal with it. You might deal with really sad songs, but nevertheless, it's like, you know, it's fun. And so we would just think about tunes that, you know, we don't have a chance to play, but we really like, you know, and we'd have fun doing. So, you know, I mean, we can Cajunize anything. Cajunize, you know, Godfather Soul, James Brown. And, I mean, John Coltrane, I mean, you know, so, you know, that's, why not? You know, it's just fun to do, you know, because it's got a groove. People can dance to it, you know, so for us, it works out real well.
Ready, Dan? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Able to bring in any Malian performers into the recording?
No. I wish I could. I would love to play with some, but no. It's just us.
Well, you know, Offbeat Magazine, which we talked about, it's such a great magazine for, you know, entertainment magazine from New Orleans, and as you mentioned, covers even what's happening around Louisiana. They picked this, the Festival International de Louisiane as the best festival outside of New Orleans. And we hear so much about the Jazz and Heritage Festival in New Orleans, where you had made a live recording there in 2008 and received a Grammy for that. But can you shed some light on the Festival International de Louisiane, which takes place in late April there in Lafayette?
Yeah, well, I mean, I give a short history. I was the vice president the first 3 years that it started. And for us, we were trying to continue this to Quebec, because Quebec has a great festival, the Festival of L'Été, in the city of Quebec. And so we tried to say, well, why not? Why couldn't they stop here first? So actually, the first festival took place in July, which is unheard of in Louisiana. It's so hot, but at that time it wasn't that hot. And we had a lot of African groups, which people had really never heard of in this little town, like a group from the drummers of Rwanda and something like a German group. I mean, it was a wild festival, and we didn't really know how people would take this. But we wanted to have it as a free festival, you know, because like they have now a lot of free festivals. Every Friday afternoon, there's music in the streets here and things like that. So we wanted to continue that, see how that would happen. And it did. It caught on real well. And they've had, you know, we continue to have people from, you know, all around the world here, all kinds of music. I mean, mostly, I mean, I would say, you know, non-commercial music, I mean, as opposed to like a group like Fish, like they wouldn't be here, but, you know, a group from like young kids from playing traditional music from North Carolina, they might be here, or different style, or people from Haiti play here, different countries that have something, some link with the French culture, or just kind of underground culture. So it's a real music festival as far as a, you know, like a pop festival. So that's the difference, and then it's free. And Lafayette, you know, it goes on for like 4 days. So if you can survive that, you're pretty good.
And I guess you can come out on the back end of it and go over to New Orleans for Jazz Fest.
Well, that's the point. Then we moved it. I got out of it. I'm not part of the festival anymore. Then it moved it. So what better to do? It was really too hot in the summer. So we figured, well, we just do the first weekend or the last weekend of April, but that's the first weekend of the Jazz Festival. The Jazz Festival in New Orleans is like 2 weekends. And so we figured we'd cover one, and then we could share some of the musicians who played in New Orleans. They could come down to Lafayette the next weekend. So it's worked out real well.
Now, having traveled down to New Orleans one time, I avoided the festival because I knew it was such so rich in music all around that I could just go out to clubs and enjoy it. Is Lafayette that way as well, like on at least on the weekends with the dance halls?
It's like that every day of the week. I mean, it's not as prolific as perhaps New Orleans because, I mean, there's only maybe 160,000 people here in Lafayette. But there are places to hear music every night of the week here. And, I mean, you know, apart from that, they started kind of a restaurant kind of supper club, and there's always music there like 7 days a week. So you can find music in Lafayette 7 days a week. But festival is really good because it really brings it out. And like I said, it's free and it's downtown, and you can walk, and there's different stages. And so it's a different thing. But it's not like a, like if you were just here during the week, it depends on what kind of music you want to listen to, you know, and where it's playing. But there are some venues, you know, not as many as there were. Years ago, and the kind of gone is the sort of country dance hall thing. You know, most of those places are closed, and you know, financially, whatever. But there'll be some music around for sure.
You know, as far as this Cuban trip, I guess you're going on that has nothing to do with a band going, right? That's just your own trip that you're going on shortly.
Right, exactly. I've been trying to get over there for years, and you know, you have to do like a cultural exchange kind of thing. So. Hooked up with some good musicians, so it should be fun. I got all my strings. That's what I was doing. They said, bring clothes that you don't mind leaving. So I'm bringing, you know, I'm trying all these clothes, make sure they fit so I can leave them over there because the poverty level is so high, and just, you know, taking out some violin strings and guitar strings and stuff to, you know, to share and to give to those musicians over there, which is just so hard to come by.
This is your first time going down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had trips planned in the past, but they just never seemed to pan out, you know. And this one is pretty cool. We go directly from Miami there, so it's, you know, it's all legit.
And you are planning to connect with some musicians when you're down there. Do you think that might lead to a recording in the future?
Well, it's going to lead to ideas, that's for sure, yeah. I mean, I love Cuban music. I mean, I've written folk Cuban pieces, you know, already, you know, for Beau Soleil, and then, you know, I just love the style because New Orleans and Havana shared a whole lot. I mean, not even during a colonial time when they were both Spanish and the influence went back and forth. But, you know, after that whole time, and there's a lot of music that in the New Orleans jazz, traditional jazz, that they've incorporated directly from Cuba. And even that even filtered here into Southwest Louisiana. There's some, you know, like traditional accordion player you might have heard of called Nathan Afshar. He's deceased now, but he recorded a song called, you know, My Mom Roseanne. That's actually, you know, a Cuban song, but he sings in French. So, you know, go ahead. So we just continue that tradition, that line sort of experimentation and great music.
You're tuned to WDIY. I'm Carlos Benjamin talking with Michael Doucet of the group Beau Soleil. He's coming to town to the Blast Furnace Blues Festival. And the band appeared in the first episode of the final season of Treme, where the fiddler Annie plays in a band called Bayou Cadillac. And in that series, Annie is trying to break out, make her first recording. And in the mid-1970s, how hard was it for you to get that first Beausoleil album going with an album of Cajun music back?
Well, actually, a first record we recorded was in Paris, France. It just so happens we were there for 2 weeks touring, and this guy heard the music, and I didn't know who he was. He said, "Do you all have a record?" And of course, we said no, and he gave us his card, and he was the president of Pathé Macaroni EMI. So I said, "Well, we only have like 4 days left." You know, I said, "No problem." So we got a studio, and we recorded our first record there in France. The next year, we recorded our first record here in the States, and basically, it was called on the Swallow label. It was called The Spirit of Cajun Music, and it was the first album Cajun record that I tried to bring all the different elements, not only the, you know, accordion music of two steps and waltzes, but fiddle music of contredanses and reels and ballads and then blues and then Tin Pan Alley songs, you know, that, in other words, where we Cajunized different songs. People did that throughout the 20s and et cetera. And that was our first record here. And we put the words and the lyrics and the translations, and it was mainly as to work in the schools for teachers to teach French, because at that time nobody was really caring about this culture or the music, and so that was our element to do that in. And but I mean, I never really thought it would go anywhere outside of here, basically, of Louisiana. And then we continued to play. We played in French-speaking countries, you know, like France, Belgium, and of course Canada. And, you know, recorded an album over there. And then and we started working with our Hooli Records with Chris Strachwitz. He wanted to record us earlier in the 70s, but we kind of put it off. And that helped, like, open up the doors. I think we got a review and Downbeat for my solo record, Michael Ducey, Du Beausoleil. That was 81. And, you know, then a lot of people started calling us up. So actually it happened the other way around. I mean, I think all of us were just interested in just, you know, playing in French-speaking countries where people would notice and then hear, you know, and we'd see what happens. And then it really started taking off. You know, played more festivals and wider exposure. I mean, Prairie Home Companion, and then doing soundtracks to movies, et cetera. And so, you know, it just goes and goes. So it wasn't a plan at all. We were just being who we were, playing what we wanted to play, how we wanted to play, and see what happened. So it took us instead of the other way around.
Yeah, that's an interesting evolution. And that first album, as you mentioned, La Nuit, right, was released only in France. And
exactly. Oh, well, Blue Note, we released that. Okay. You can still find it on Blue Note, yeah, but later.
Well, you know, you were talking about how it kind of took you by surprise, you know, and the direction of your career. Because earlier you had been considering going to grad school, and then you decided to focus a career on music. And in the process, you set on a path to discover and share the roots and branches of Cajun music. And you've done a lot of research along the way, receiving grant funding from the NEA. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of that research?
Well, I mean, basically you grew up in where you grew up, and there was always musicians around it. I mean, I learned a lot of music from my uncle and just people around who lived around the neighborhood. But this music was more, it was totally more widespread than that, and the depths of it. What happened to us when we went to France in 74, we played, you know, for folk festival there, and the French looked at us as the youngest form of creative French folk music. I mean, that blew my mind. I mean, I didn't think anybody knew about us or even cared about us. So that actually really helped us significantly, you know, with something to work on and to really uncover. Because why would people in Southwest Louisiana sing about kings and queens when they had no idea what kings and queens were or what they were talking about? And so, because that's the amazing magic of music and melody and story song. So then we're very adamant about that, about continuing that. And, you know, I was lucky, you know, to have been awarded some grants. And through that, I got to knock on the door of some people, you know, that I didn't know they still existed. I just went by people who tell me, well, go here, go there. And I found some incredible musicians that some had recorded, actually, back in the 20s. Some had recorded were recorded by Alan Lomax and John Lomax in the 1930s. Uncommercial recordings, had never heard these recordings before, and some people had simply were just master musicians but preferred not to record at all. So I was lucky during that time, during the 70s, to have some of those people still around. So, it broadens the palette, and it's more things to share and to see and to uncover how great and amazing our culture is, our French Cajun culture is here in Southwest Louisiana.
Well, Mary Chapin Carpenter said in her tune Down at the Twist and Shout, "And there ain't no cure for my blues today except when the paper says Beausoleil is coming to town." Blast Furnace Blues Festival features Beausoleil on Sunday, February the 9th. Michael Doucet, thanks for being my guest today on WDIY.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Pour moi,